There is so much going on right now, I don't even know where to start sometimes. We, as many of you know, in our trainings, we continually keep them updated and keep them fresh and current and relevant. And I was working with Tracy, helping her with the comprehensive office manager front office training that we're holding out in Hawaii here in October. And she's been updating it. And this is like the first time I've really sat down and kind of been a part of helping her put this together, because this is more in her wheelhouse, not mine. It's above my pay grade, some of this stuff. Anyway, and I was blown away. I was absolutely blown away at what I was reading. And we came across some information that she was placing in there, and I was reading about it, and she said, yeah, this is in her MBA program, and it was called The Unspoken Rules by Gorick. And we're going to begin our podcast right there.
Welcome, all you wonderful dental podcast listeners, to the My Practice, My Business Dental Podcast Show, where we help dentists profit and thrive with excerpts from the clinical business of dentistry training here in My Practice, My Business. We'll be addressing and answering questions with current trends dentists and their teams face each and every day in their pursuit of this wonderful career we call dentistry. And now, the host of our show, the clinical director at My Practice, My Business, Dr. Rob Thorup.
First of all, let me get started with all of you here. We've got a lot going on with this new law we have in Utah. There's a lot of state associations that have been working with Tracy on this new law, and it's just powerful to see how we are able to take this new law, apply it to the things that we're doing. My goodness gracious, we have actually filed a couple of complaints with the state insurance commissioner. I wish all of you listening out there that are in other states, and even in the state of Utah, I wish you guys knew how to do that. That is part of our training, and the state insurance commission, they really are on our side. They don't want to see dental insurance companies getting away with some of the crap that they've done for years. And we'll have more on that. We've been holding seminars all over the state of Utah on the new law and also on technology and why you should own CAD/CAM and other such wonderful things. But many of you feel like you can't afford it. We get it. That's why we teach what we teach, so you can afford to buy technology and learn how to charge for it. That's a whole nother story. I want to get into this. Some of these topics that we're covering in the office manager training, which go hand in hand with things that we've already taught. The first one I want to start out with that I noticed as I was studying this book that she gave me to read, and it's just a short read, but how powerful it was. Many times we as dentists, we don't see the big picture. And I want, I'm going to read just some of these little excerpts and I want to talk about them. So on the big picture, it's like when joining a new team, you need to research what that team does, what its objectives are, and who it serves, and what it's been up to recently, and who the competitors are, and who the most important people are, right? So when you join a practice, those are the things you want to know. You want to know your role and how you're going to help the team and organization achieve their goals. So office managers, what are you doing? And docs, what are you doing to help your office managers achieve those goals? What are you doing to help them in their pursuit in running your practice? Is education important to you? Are you training them, teaching them? Where are they getting their information from office manager university? Where are they getting it from? And if they can't find it, then it's very difficult for them to oftentimes see the big picture and stay up to date with what's happening both on the team, the company, the industry. So what do I mean by the seeing the big picture? I liken that to House Bill 359. This bill has gone into law on May 5th, 2021, and it's the most powerful thing that we've ever had in the state of Utah in dentistry in the 30-plus years that I've been here. And that's not just say that because we're the ones that brought this to fruition. By the way, we had a really good meeting with the Utah Dental Association last Friday. We with a couple of the powers to be, and we enjoyed our meeting with them, and it was just a really good candid conversation. It was good to see what the UDA was up to, and I told them, I'm like, you guys have a communication issue. You dentists need to know what you guys are doing here, especially the dentists in the state of Utah, because oftentimes it feels like, you know, your association isn't doing much for you. And that's true in some instances, but they're trying to be very proactive and trying to help out. And, you know, sometimes the things that they might be pursuing might not be pertinent to our practices. We had that candid conversation too with them. So it was a great meeting, and we're going to see where it goes from here. And they are starting to see the big picture. I think they've seen the big picture, but sometimes when you're stuck in an association and you've got all these other influences hitting you, sometimes you just lose that perspective on what the big picture is that pertains to the average dental practice. So anyway, it just reminded me that we had a good meeting with them, and I hope all of you are supporting your state associations and they're trying to do their best to do things that help out each of us in our states. And so we'll leave it with that. And sometimes it doesn't appear that way. Many times it's not that way, but give them support they need. They're trying to do a tough job from time to time, and they could use all the support they could get from us. I want you guys to think like an owner, like you own your state association, like you own the ADA. This was funny. Imagine that you own office managers, everything that goes on in a dental practice, and there's nobody else you can go for to help. And actually, that's true most of the time, because a dentist doesn't know what they're doing, right? And then you have to, I mean, they can figure things out. Most dentists are pretty savvy, but many are not. So usually you are on your own. Imagine that you're in charge, and how would you help it to solve and achieve its goals? And you need to be proactive. You need to think like an owner. If somebody's not saying hello, you need to say hello. If no one is sharing information, you need to ask for information. If no one's giving you tasks to do, you don't understand your tasks, you need to search those tasks out and ask for help. You know, it's like you need to give the doc something to react to. So bring solutions, not problems, and take control of your career. Now, having said that, how do you know what your career is if there's not some sort of educational process by which you can improve your career? When we think like an owner, we actually have to realize that profitability needs to happen. So when you're thinking like an owner, just don't sit there and think that everything just happens naturally. You've got to apply yourself. You need to show you want to learn and help. So when you have something new, like a new project, you need to go into learner mode. And every time, this is the thing that is so frustrating to me, is when we run across people, dentists and office managers, hygienists, team members, assistants, everybody's like, oh, I already know my job. Oh, I'm so good at my job. I know everything. My gosh, I've been at this over 30 years, folks. I still don't know my job. I'm still learning every day. It's absolutely amazing. So if you think you've arrived, yeah, you probably should go somewhere else and learn something. Go do another career, because dentistry is so amazing. I had one assistant that used to actually read the JATA. She would read dental economics. And she was a huge asset in my practice, because she understood dentistry better than anybody else. Because why? Because she read the publications. She wanted to learn and wanted to help. And she would study those items, and she would quiz me all the time in asking me, you know, about materials and wanting to better understand the whole business of dentistry. Are we doing that? Are we reaching out? Are we seeking more information? Or do we have that know-it-all, yeah, I've arrived attitude? That needs to change. Know your internal and external narratives. Know why you do what you do. And that's a powerful one. If you don't understand the why, then you're just going through those motions. You've lost it. And it's like just so, so frustrating, because why you're billing, why you have fees. Why do you have fees? Do you set your fee for service fees based on fee surveys, or are you actually looking at what it costs you to actually perform that procedure? Isn't that interesting? Do you understand why you do what you do? Do you analyze those insurance contract fees and see if it meets your direct operating cost per hour? No, 99.99% don't. Our trained offices do. Because again, nobody's taught you to that. The next one's manage your intent and impact. And when you're interacting with others, you need to understand your intent, and how you mean to come across. That may not be the same as your impact. So you need to clarify to people what your intent is, because it can be misinterpreted all the time. You need to explain any behavior or actions that could be seen as negative, in a negative light, and that will prevent others from assuming the worst about you. And that has to come across with patience all the time. If your intent can be interpreted in multiple ways, don't rely on emails or instant messages or any kind of texting. You need to have a conversation instead. That's really important. Prioritize what's urgent and what's important. Okay? Urgent and important. You need to determine, you know, the things that need to get done quickly and what your role is in getting things done. You need to know what's important that it may not be important to other people and vice versa. So know what people are looking for and not looking for, given the amount of time that you have. See, this is where I see a lot of team members doing a lot of busy work or just trying to stay busy for the day, and they're not focusing on the things that really matter in the practice. How's your SEO going? How's your social media? You know, are you focusing on what's going to be picked up on SEO? Are you really, doing the things that help bring in really good qualified new patients? Are you doing the things that will keep the patients coming back? Are you giving them that dizzy experience? Split the tasks into have-to-dos and nice-to-dos, and do the have-to-dos first. That's important to, you know, it's like when you're on the phone with the insurance companies, you might have to multitask. Get a headset for your office manager's doc, so that they're not wasting time. They can walk around with a headset on, and as soon as the insurance company picks up, you know, then they can stop doing a task. And it's like, sometimes I just see team members sit there on the phone waiting for the insurances to answer. That just drives me nuts. Next one is own up. Ask for feedback if you aren't sure how well you're doing. Try asking, what should I start doing and stop doing and keep doing? That's the start, stop, continue that we teach all the time in our training. Or am I on track? Be mindful of when you should apologize and admit that you were actually wrong and when you should defend yourself. So if you make a mistake, own it. You know, be prepared to apologize. Explain what happened. Offer a plan to mitigate that impact or fix the problem, and explain how you're going to avoid making that same mistake again. I'm going to mess this up. You know, it's like if you screw up the first time, this is like a military thing. If you screw up the first time, it's a mistake. If you screw up the second time, it's because you're being stupid. And if you screw up the same thing a third time, you start asking, is this a competency issue? So sorry about that. I hope I didn't offend anybody. And if I did, get over yourselves. But seriously, you'd sit there and you'd go, why can't a procedure be memorized? And if a team member can't memorize a procedure, if they're struggling, is it you and you're not teaching them, or is it the individual and they can't just grasp a concept? And dentistry is a tough business. Not everybody can grasp the concept. But it's like we have a lot of good conversation with insurance companies and the insurance representatives, and I hope I don't offend somebody out there again with this one, but they made this statement. They said, you know, if the doc would stop hiring 19-year-olds to run their offices and hire more mature and experienced individuals, we'd be on the phone a lot less, and we'd be able to actually communicate the problem and get them to fix it and not keep making the same mistake over and over and over again. Well, you know, my young office manager friends, with age comes maturity, and I know you hate to hear that, because when I graduated from dental school, I was 26 years of age, and I'm like, I know everything. And then you quickly learn that you don't know everything, and you quickly learn why they call it a practice, because you're going to be practicing. And it's the same with you. There's a lot to learn about life, and a lot to learn and mature and grow and be able to communicate and be able to do things. And where you're at 19, 20, up to 25 years of age is not where you're going to be at when you're in your 40s. It you just learn from the School of Hard Knocks. You learn about life and you learn about things, and that's what the insurance rep was talking about. So it's very difficult sometimes for our younger friends to own up to mistakes or learn. They've been given everything on a silver platter, and they don't even know how to apologize when they've done something wrong. And that's a problem. So own up to those mistakes. And the last one is show performance and potential. You need to know that you're being evaluated based on both your performance, meaning how effective you are in that current role in the practice, and your potential. Oh my gosh, how effective you might be in the next role. Those are the things that you're being evaluated on. And I know that I do that all the time. I see a lot of potential in my staff. I probably see more potential in them than they even knew that they had. So to show your potential, you need to claim an unclaimed swim lane. You need to do what hasn't been done. You need to fix what hasn't been fixed and bridge what hasn't been bridged. You need to know what others don't know. I use that phrase all the time. Docs don't know what they don't know. But when you learn, you need to share what hasn't been shared. And you need to you don't let potential go unrecognized. Ask for what you want and deserve. But you need to ask for what you want and what you deserve when you have the commensurate achievement to ask for it. Don't ask for raises. Don't ask for bonuses. Don't ask for things if you're not making the practice profitable. Because that's the job you've accepted as an office manager. And hygienists, stop feeling entitled and undervalued. What are you doing in the practice as a producer to say, you know, yeah, okay, I deserve a little bit more? Are you going the extra mile? Are you staying late? Are you helping with training? Are you helping, or are you just going through your day-to-day program and you're in an area of the country where hygienists are limited and you feel like you can take advantage of your doc? Because that's what we're seeing a lot of. In fact, I have to say that we, again, have an office that we know of said, I've had enough of the hygienists and their attitudes, and they got rid of them, and they're down to doing their own hygiene 1.5 days a week, and there's no more drama, and they love it. So hygienists, don't work yourself out of a job. That's what they did here in Utah, and we opened up a bazillion hygiene schools, and now the market's flooded. So be careful what you ask for. Observe the people around you at work. You need to observe everybody. Notice how those who get ahead or have mastered most of the things, if not all, of the unspoken rules, and how those who struggle repeatedly stumble with at least one or more of the same rules. Who are those people? Why are they in that position of trust? What have they done to get there? How have they gained their knowledge and experience? Why are they the go-to person in the office? How do you become that go-to person? How do you become a leader? How can you apply just the things that we've talked about here in your own career? And docs, I'm not just talking about the team members. I'm talking about you too. I'm talking about, placing those office managers in a position of authority without the commensurate education and achievement to do so. Why are you trying to hurt them? We need to stop hurting them. Because when they're not able to do the tasks or their jobs, or they make a mistake because they didn't know what they didn't know either. So we need to make sure that we're backing them up. So one of the things that I really found was interesting is we've been doing a lot of trainings out there, and I know that some of you listening to this today, sorry, I'm losing my voice. You're probably grateful I am. Get them off the air quick. as we're doing these trainings, I'm seeing a lot of offices, a lot of you docs out there. What value do you place in your team's education? How can they apply unspoken rules when they haven't even learned the rules from this book? So when I'm looking over Tracy's curriculum for the comprehensive office manager front office training, I'm like really blown away at what these office managers are actually learning. Because I've been to a lot of trainings. I've hired tons of consultants throughout the years. And I've seen the fluff and the redundant protocols that are continually taught in offices. And I looked at her, so I'm like, Tracy, this is nothing like dentistry's ever seen before. And she's like, uh-huh, yeah, I'm tired of the crap, because she was an office manager and still is an office manager. We're all cross-trained in our office, but she, you know, that's her vertical of responsibility, so the buck stops with her. And but she has a great team that she's trained in my dental office that can handle just about anything all the time. And that's where you want to be, cross-trained. But what are we doing? What kind of education are we giving these office managers? And I'm just going to say, my gosh, if you can't do the team training here at MPMB, minimum you should send your office manager to be trained, because everybody else gets to be trained. Everybody else gets to go to school and learn. And doc, the amount of money that these OMs can make you just with what is being taught, the ROI is huge. It's a quick return, and it's well worth it. So stop holding back. Stop being stingy. Stop going, oh, geez, MPMB, thank you so much for all you do for us. And, you know, and it's my favorite, and I just got to throw it out there. It's like, we got a wonderful representative, Jim Dunnigan, who's helped us with House Bill 359. And if you guys are in other states and you have state legislators that have helped your profession out, and you go, all your attitude is a thank you, it's not a contribution, you got a problem. You got a psychological problem. Fix it now. So all of you guys out there, you know, boy, we'd sure like to see some donations to Jim Dunnigan's re-election campaign. And if you don't know how to send or where to send it, just call us, ask Tracy, ask me where to send it and how much, I'll tell you. And then we need to keep these people in office, because they are helping our profession and protecting it against, I say protecting us against PPO plans and their unethical practices. But I'm going to say it like this, Doc. When we keep these people in office, and when you have associations and companies like ours that combine together to help pass laws, what are those laws really doing? Doc, they're protecting you from yourself. Because why? You don't know what you don't know. And you need to start learning. And you need to start growing. And you need to go to training that teaches things that are business-centered and not fluff-centered. Well, you guys have a great day, and we'll see you again. Hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Thank you for being with us today. To learn more about our guaranteed, no-risk clinical business of dentistry training that is changing dental practices for the better, just go to our website, mypracticemybusiness.com, and surf our pages for additional information about our company. When you're ready, give us a call and get scheduled for the best training you'll ever experience. Those are the words of our clients, not us. Our mission statement is simple. We increase the net revenue of dental practices with our key methods, tools, and training utilizing everyday need-based dentistry. We believe that there's never been a more important time than now for dentists to know what we know, and that is, one, how to compete with retail America. Two, how to be profitable with dental procedures, especially those performed on patients with dental insurance plans. Three, how to place oral health care at the forefront of patients' discretionary spending. And four, how to ethically, legally, and morally be paid fairly for the services you provide. All of us here at My Practice, My Business know exactly how to help you implement each of those talking points and more with our key methods, knowledge, and training. Our clients' testimonies say it all. If you enjoy our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you soon at the My Practice, My Business training facility located in the Salt Lake City, Utah area. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call us. Thank you again, and have a fantastic day.